Now, there's going to be a little wallpaper to put up. There's going to be some trim that we're going to need to go back and do in our own part. But I thought it'd be nice if maybe Emil or someone else could help us. We need to say really a bit about 16 and 17, and then maybe somebody could just give us an overview of verses 18 through 25. And we would spend, we've got basically a little over 30 minutes to go over verses 26 to 39. The Spirit himself or itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, this is a wonderful thing. What am I? Why, I'm an heir. What does an heir do? Well, he inherits something. And it's a wonderful thing, the inheritance that you and I have. I'm an heir of God. And I'm a joint heir with Christ. You see? I'm a joint heir with him. If so be that... Wait a minute. Now, what are you bringing this word into it for? Suffering? You mean, I left this world? And now I'm going to learn a bit about what suffering means? Ah, yes. As I've left this world and as I bear the name of Christ and go out into this world, I'm going to soon find, I probably don't have to leave this conference to find, that there are those that are not real happy. There are those that don't have a lot of patience with those of us that are walking for Christ in this world. But you see, it is a pathway of suffering that we've been called to. He says, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer, get it, with him. With him, you see. I'm suffering. I'm standing alongside of that man that hung upon the cross. I'm standing alongside of that man that the world said, we don't want him. We have a cross and we have a grave for that man. I've come back into this world. And I'm bearing testimony that my life is to be lived under the rights of that blessed man. Someday, he's going to put things right here. Governments are trying to do that today. We have an election coming up in this country. You have a big part in that. You should be praying. We should be praying. We should be praying for our president, for kings, for rulers, and those that are in authority. I have a huge role there. There's a lot of people that think good government is what is keeping things from falling apart here. I happen to believe the presence of the Spirit of God in this world today is the very thing that is keeping everything from flying all to pieces. And someday that Spirit of God will be gone, won't he? And this world will have terrible things. But now he says, not only that we would suffer with him, there's a better day coming. There's a day when the Lord Jesus is going to be owned. Young people, get hold of this. If you can think of the greatest king that has ever lived amongst men, the one that we're serving is King of Kings. He's greater than the greatest, the hymn writer says. You think of those that have exercised lordship and authority over men. Those that have been well-known, men of renown in this world. This blessed one is Lord of Lords, and I belong to him. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and it's going to be displayed in this world in a day to come. It says that we may also be glorified, but there's another word there, that we may be glorified together. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful hope belongs to those that were once ungodly, once without strength, once those that were unforgiven, remember, we've been forgiven, justified, reconciled. And now here's a day before us when he has his rights in this very world. We're going to be with him there.
Let us say a word about this heirs. When we think of, for example, I'll use the example of myself. Okay, I have six children. Okay? Now, when the day comes that I pass from this world and I die, okay, if my six children are there, then typically what would happen is my estate would be divided into six equal parts. Okay? And they each get 1/6 of it. Sorry for them that there's six of them, eh? But that's not the attitude that we should have towards our position in Christ and our heirship. Okay? When we are heirs with Christ, every believer has all things in Christ. It's not divided. Ephesians talks about our spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings, all blessings in the heavenlies. Everything that Christ has, we can all appropriate as His children. Everything, it's not divided. Paul doesn't get some, email another, and somebody else something else. We can all have it all. We just need to cultivate it and make it our own.
One point to that, and Peter, 1 Peter, verse 3 says, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and this is it, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Unlike in this world where our inheritance can be, is perishable, this inheritance is imperishable.
Okay. Now, I think if you look at your bank statement, it's getting bigger every time. We're adding things to it. You are, in chapter 7, married to that new man. You got a new last name. You're a Christian now. And you have all of these things in your bank account. Forgiveness, reconciliation, eternal life, the Holy Spirit. You have all of these things in your bank account. But not you are only a wife, all of us, but you're also a son. Now, look at that. This is another one that is added to your bank account. You're not just a guy that your sins are forgiven and you're walking in the street. No, you are a son. But a son of who? Now, here is a little test for you. John Michael, stand up. Okay, I want you to look at this young man here. And I'm going to tell you who are the fathers in this room. Brother Sam, Brother John, Brother Chuck, Brother Andrew, Brother Paul, and myself. Who do you think John Michael is a son of? Is he a son of Brother Sam? How about Brother Andrew back there? No, okay. How about Paul? Brother Paul. Do you think John Michael is the son of Brother Paul? No, okay. How about Brother Chuck? No. How about me? Who's the father? No, that's right, you keep him.
You can't have him.
You keep him. Who's his father? John Redekop is his father. Why? They look alike. He looks like him. He looks like his father. That's how you got. He doesn't look like me. He doesn't look like Brother Sam. He doesn't look like Brother Andrew. So he looks like his father. Now, sit down. Thank you. Now, verse 14 and verse 16 tells us about two things that, remember, the new operating system tells us. The Spirit of God tells us. He does two things to us. Number one, he tells us that he leads us. If you are a son, you're led. Second thing, he bear witness. He gives you that assurance. Do you ever doubt that John is your father? You do? But even if you do that, you look at your birth certificate and you look at the last name and you said, he's my father. You look at yourself in the mirror and you look at him in the mirror and said, he's my father. We have the Spirit of God in us that tells us that God is our father. Now, God is holy, right? We are His sons. We are His children. Can people look at me and tell me that I look like the Lord Jesus? Because I resemble Him? We all saw that John Michael resembled John Redekop. And right away, we all figured that one out. Are people looking at me and said, you know, I know, he's a Christian. I could tell by the way he looks. He doesn't, you know, there's no halo around him. But just the way he conducts himself. He's just like his father. When John Michael walks, he just walks like John. That's the way they walk. You could tell right away that when he talks, you could tell right away that he belongs to the Father. Are the people around us, when they look at me and they look at you, they realize right away that God is our Father? You know the story of Alexander the Great? One time at a war, one of his soldiers ran away. ran away from battle. They brought him for court-martial. Okay? And Alexander the Great asked him, "Son, what is your name?" He said, "Alexander." And he looked at him and he said, "You either change your name or change your character."